This is SEC Talk.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to it. Welcome to it. We are back. Guess what? We got a Cody in the house here. Finally got Cody in on the podcast with us. We are on YouTube, so we've got that up and going for you guys. Hope everybody is doing good this evening. Cody, it's so good to have you back and see you back in studio, so to speak, quote-unquote here, as we get ready to do another episode here. Yeah. I like your background there, by the way.
Yeah, we finally got something figured out around here where we can actually get something put up. Only took us, what, how long?
Too long.
What, season and a half almost?
Too long. That's for sure.
But, yeah, I had some personal things I need to kind of focus on. But I was able to get on tonight.
By the way, if you guys are watching on YouTube, the names on the bottom of the screen are not correct. Cody's name is over here under me, and my name's over there. I don't know why it did this. I don't, you know, some things are out of our control, okay? Some things are just out of our control.
If you listen to the show, you know technical difficulties is our middle name.
And this is that's actually technically my fault. Hey, y'all, I finally upgraded to a little bit better internet. Fingers crossed that it's going to work and do a good job tonight and come across that way. Yeah, because right now, hey, knock on wood, but so far we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. For us to be able to be on conversation right now is really good. And the screen looks different. We're trying something new this year. We're going to try a different platform instead of using Zoom. Zoom is good. It works well. It and some of the software we use can be a little bit irritating to use and sometimes doesn't work like it's supposed to. So you're going to see the little blue outline around us when we talk. It says our names and stuff down here. Just, hey, roll with it. We're on the screen. We got the podcast going. It's going to be fun. We're going to jump into some stuff. We got some stuff to talk about. First things first, got it up on the screen there for you guys. On Twitter, at SEC Talk 20. You can also look it up on Facebook, SEC Talk as well, and find us there. YouTube, like I just said, you guys, make sure you subscribe. Go subscribe for us. That'd be great. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, rate and review. Give us that 5-star review. All it does is help us move up in the ranks. We'll leave the support link in the tab as well, description of the podcast. So if you guys feel like supporting us, hey, I guarantee you we'll all be A-okay with that, won't we, Cody?
Yeah, we need any help we can get. Mentally, physically, financially. We need all the help we can get.
We're all for it.
Oh, yeah. Any type of help, man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to put on the bottom of the screen for you guys again watching. You guys go check out YouTube. We're trying to get it up and going again this year, so I'd appreciate it. But got it up on the bottom of the screen there. Top 25 will be rolling through. Hit a little bit of news. Don't have much unless something's come up between now and the last time we talked. Cody, if you have something that comes up, we can talk about it. Break down all the games. We got a lot to break down from what we've got coming up this coming Saturday. We'll go through our picks. Cody's going to do his live picks here, actually, because I went ahead and did mine, but he's a little behind on it. But, hey, that's all right. We're going to get to see his live and roll from there. We're also, hey, now that I got Cody here with us, we're going to go back through. I've put it up the past 2 weeks, our college football playoff finals, our Final Four. We're going to go back through it because I want to hear a little bit what Cody feels about it now after we've had a couple of weeks of the season, how he feels about it.
Was that the Final Four?
Yeah.
I am glad I did look at that earlier. I am glad I left one team out of my Final Four.
Yeah.
Ohio State. Because after the last two performances, I think it's safe to say they ain't making it.
Yeah, I hope not. I'll be honest with you. I put it on my Twitter back when that was happening that I was, you know, how many of you guys want Oregon to take Ohio State down? Probably the most liked and commented thing I've put up on Facebook, Twitter, anything.
That's the biggest Oregon's fan base has been since they had Marcus Mariota over there.
You know Scott, my buddy Scott, he's got a little table that they take camping. I don't know. It's probably a sale. I'm sure it was a sale on Amazon or something. It's an Oregon table. We're in South Georgia. Don't nobody have any Oregon gear around here except for him. He's got a little table he takes with him when they go camping, and it's Oregon. Hey, he can break it out now, though. It's useful again.
Keep it in your hiding.
Yeah, it's useful again. Well, I tell you what, let's jump right into it. We're going to have a lot of fun, man. I'm glad to have you back in this thing. I'm excited. We're going to make this thing fun and just have a good, lighthearted, fun time with it because That's what this...
Don't we always?
Oh, yeah, always. But that's what this was meant to be when we first started it. It's just talking about football and just having a good time with us. That's what we're going to do. The only news that I really have is not really SEC-related. I'm sure there's some SEC-related news that's come out. But that was Clay Helton at UCF, or USC, excuse me. He's gone. Fired him 2 weeks into the season. A lot of people thought that he should have been fired last year. The only reason I think that he wasn't is because it was just that pandemic season and just strange.
Man.
But he's gone now.
I think even with that pandemic season, I think they still could have done it. Like,
very well
possible. If they fired him 2 weeks into the season, they were already talking about it last year.
That's true.
It was already in the talks, in the process. I think they're just trying to probably find a way to either buy his contract or say, look, you got two more chances or we're gonna cut you loose.
Yeah, something.
I think that's what happened is they just said, you know what, we're done. We're tired of it.
Yeah.
Deuces.
And I know that it –
Now, hold on.
Go ahead.
Did you see what I sent you?
I don't remember. To remind me, and it may dawn in my head.
The coaching list that
yes, that's what I was about to say. I'm gonna let you get to it. But what I was gonna say is it's not necessarily US or SEC related, but because of the coaching possibilities for it, it matters. And recruiting is gonna matter a lot in this when it comes to guys who are going to go to USC that now they may change their mind and go somewhere else. But tell me what it is that you sent me. I don't know that I read it all.
This is off of 24/7 Sports. I'm going to go through this real quick.
Okay.
The odds, this is just some bet lines they got of who the coaching staff or who the head coach they could see coming towards USC.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati and James Franklin are leading the pack. Behind them, you have Chris Peterson, Bob Stoops, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, P.J. Fleck from Minnesota, and, of course, another Alabama assistant coach, Bill O'Brien, who just came to Alabama, Urban Meyer down at Jacksonville in NFL,
Mario Cristobal
at Oregon, Gary Patterson at TCU, and Tony Elliott, which he was in the talks for a head coaching job this season with a SEC school, I believe.
Yeah.
At South Carolina or Vandy is one of those two, I think. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
So, I just think it's funny that over the past, 5 years, Alabama's had an assistant coach go to a different program to head coach. And here it is, Bill O'Brien just came into Bama and they're already talking, already got bets on him leaving.
Yeah, the possibility of going and coaching elsewhere. And I think if Alabama can – I'll also kind of phrase it like this. If Alabama can win a national championship this year and he's gone just that fast, it's just – then the recruiting trail can turn around. But I'm curious to see how fast is USC wanting to move? Is this a situation, let's get an interim coach in there and let's get through this season and then next year we can start with just a fresh slate? Or is this we need a coach in here now. Let's get a coach in here now and see what he can do.
I think with just the trouble USC has had over the past few years, and once again, people, we know this is SEC talk, but just with the struggles that they've had over the past few years, they need somebody now. They need somebody to get in that program and have it rebuilt in 2 years.
Yeah, because like –
and it's going to be hard at USC.
Yeah, like we said, we're only 2 weeks in. Talking about 10 more weeks of football.
This year, no, scrub it. Whoever they get for a head coach, this year to give them, you know, this is a buffer. But next year and 2 years – or 2 years after, say, his first 3 years, they wouldn't be in there running – for the next, that's going to have to be their end goal. And it goes back to who can do that the quickest. And out of those, honestly, the best one to me would be James Franklin at Penn State. I think he's a great coach, but I think just being in the Big Ten, he's undershadowed by Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah. Hey, I got a feeling that may change for him this year, but I agree. I think he's a great candidate. kind of a side note, just keeping it fun. Did you see the video of Keenan Michael Key that came in and dressed up as him? And when again, we're off on a tangent. This has nothing to do with the SEC right now, outside of the possibility of an SEC coach coming in and taking over for USC. But that was one of the funniest videos I think I've ever seen of a guy. I didn't realize just how much he looks like him, too.
There's a little bit you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Because even the players knew. As soon as he walked in, they knew.
Yeah,
which I think it's funny just how much that they could pull that off.
Yeah. I love how even though they knew, he was like, I'm going to roll with it anyway.
It just stayed with it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Hey, so back to that conversation. A couple of the other guys that I'd heard of, you know, one they talked a little bit about offensive coordinator Todd Monken there at Georgia. That's a possibility. But then one of the big conversations with Dan Mullen. I've heard so much about a lot of disconnect between Dan Mullen and that, not necessarily the coaching staff, but like the president and all there at the university, that Dan Mullen wants to do things one way, but they want things to be done a specific way, more towards the way that they're feeling. How much of that is true, I don't know. Again, I'm a Georgia fan. You can see it in the background of my video here, but still just a little bit of curiosity there. I don't think Urban's going to end up back in college football. I will say that, though. I don't see him coming back.
Oh. Shreds a little bit on me.
Oh, sorry.
I think the reason that it is, though, with Dan Mullen is because of that that happened last year with the players. When they had that whole
I don't remember.
Is it at halftime? Florida was playing in Florida.
They have like a big fight or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the Mizzou game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is it Missouri or Mississippi State? It's one of those two.
Okay. I feel like it was Missouri. I feel like I kind of remember that. Not 100% if I remember it correctly, but I think I do slightly remember what it is you're talking about now.
And just the fact that he had no control over his team.
Yeah.
And he just didn't seem to care. I think that that's where they're like, all right, look, man, we have standards we need to uphold, and you're not upholding our standards.
Yeah.
Like, get your shit together. Sorry. But get your mess together.
I'm putting an E on the podcast.
Or pack your bags. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Sorry. I will give credit to Dan Mullen in this, and this is about the only thing I'm going to give him credit to. He is very good at developing quarterbacks. I'll give him that. Take a Kyle Trask who came in and wasn't much of anything, turned him into something. Take a Dak Prescott when he was at Mississippi State, turned him into something.
Well, let's wait Felipe on that Franks for a
was
minute.
The only
on
one
now.
That Felipe Franks had the build to be the greatest quarterback in the country, but he didn't have it right up here. And Dan Mullen just couldn't do anything about that.
But see, that's my thing. That's where I say hold that statement, because Felipe Franks, I think I don't think as much as Felipe as it was Dan Mullen or whoever the coaching quarterback is for Florida.
That's true, because some people you just don't fit in the program.
Yeah. And I think that that goes back to the coaching, you know, whenever they get a recruit, they don't have long to, you know, get to know these players when they recruit them. I mean, they're looking at film, basically. They're going on off of film most of the time.
I'm going to tell you, we're going to get down to it when we talk about that. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I ain't never been through the recruiting process, but they don't have long to talk to these guys, so they don't really fully understand their mindset on everything. But they need to understand it sooner than later. And he didn't understand it at all until it was too late.
Yeah, that's a bit of a downfall to last year anyways, because there's been so much strangulation on recruiting rules with everything that was going on last year. So last year in comparison to this year, it's extremely difficult. I would not want to have to have been either a head coach or a recruiter in this situation because of how much just strain there really has been on the recruiting aspect of the game with this past year. But like you were saying, we're going to get into this in just a little bit when we talk about Florida and Alabama coming up this weekend. But one thing I do know that I noticed, and that was Dan Mullen's loyal. For him to have a guy in, they call him AR-15, what a neat nickname for a guy, but Anthony Richardson there at Florida, to have that guy come in and do what he does through the air and on the ground, and you still stick with Emory Jones, woo. Again, we're going to get to that coming up. So, Cody, unless you got anything else news-wise, do you want to go ahead and jump into the games, and we'll start it off with that New Mexico, Texas A&M?
Well, I will say we'll do one more thing real quick if you want to touch on the hot seats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
since
that.
Since we're glad you said about that. The coaching things.
Yeah.
And is Coach O down in the old Louisiana, is he on the hot seat right now?
Let me see here.
Right.
LSU. I got them picked this year, 8-4 and 4-4 in the SEC. What you got them?
I don't remember what I had them picked at. I don't know where my paper's at. Oh. I need to find it. But I don't think I had them that. I think I'm had them worse than you did.
May have.
I think I had them barely 500.
I know we were really bullish on them not being very good and being very situation. Highly overranked preseason. That's a great reason that they're not in the top 25.
Honestly, I wouldn't expect them to be as. Yeah, well, honestly, I wouldn't expect them to be as worse as bad as they are now.
Yeah, that's true.
I also hope for something, but I really think Coach O. They got Central Michigan this week. They're 1-1 on the season, and their one win was not impressive. You beat McNeese State 34-7.
Beat his son.
That should have been a blowout. I mean, you lose to UCLA, which granted, people can say, well, they had to move that game to LA. That shouldn't matter.
Oh, I thought it was always scheduled to be played in Pasadena.
Mm-mm. If I remember,
no, it was at UCLA. It was scheduled to be there.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I heard they had to move it.
No, the one they had to move was the Tulane Oklahoma game.
That's right. Well, I still think you.
Right now, Tulane is the number one team in the state of Louisiana.
Pretty much. I mean, I think, depending on how the Central Michigan game goes, I'd say about depending on how the Mississippi State game. If he does not win Mississippi State, which it's going to be hard, he needs to win that game for them to be like, okay, you know, we'll think about it a little bit longer. Yeah. But if you lose Mississippi State and they're good right now, your chances are not looking very good.
And you're playing in Starkville.
Especially, ooh. Oh, yeah. Well, not to mention, you look at the rest of their schedule, dude. The only other team you can see them saying that they have a loss to would be
a loss or a win.
Or a win?
Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding.
At this point,
at Mississippi State, they get Auburn at home, at Kentucky, Florida, at Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas. They'll beat ULM at the end of the season.
Kentucky's probably their best chance for a win.
And Kentucky has come alive.
And that's the thing is Kentucky's alive. Arkansas's looking dang good.
Yeah.
Arkansas's a dark horse in the West right now.
Yeah, I said this in Monday's show was in a couple of weeks, Kentucky, I expect to be in the top 25. Kentucky, after beating Missouri, I ended up with Kentucky being second in the SEC East right behind Georgia because – I think in a couple of weeks, Kentucky's going to be there. You get a win over ULM, not that impressive. You get a big win over Missouri, matters. Chattanooga this week, easy. Beat South Carolina next week. I think Kentucky could be ranked 24, 25 coming into that game against Florida on October 2nd. And they beat Florida, and they're sitting right there in the driver's seat, second place. And all of a sudden, you look, and Kentucky could be 5-0. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-0, heading to Georgia on October 16th. 2-6-0 teams possibly once we get to that point. That could be pretty fun.
And the thing is Kentucky's not a team to overlook right now.
No. Will Levis has been on
Arkansas.
Fire.
Arkansas's not somebody that – oh, yeah. And I just – man, I really don't see LSU winning an SEC game this year. I really don't.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's looking a lot tougher after things have gone. I've got them 4-4. I've got them busting 500 in it, but – That ain't saying much.
I think I got them right around there, but Well, you look at the now this is going off ESPN's FPI against Kentucky. LSU has a 37% chance to win that game as of right now. Yeah.
And I actually,
and that can change.
I forget, I actually picked them to beat Florida because they beat them last year in a game that came down to a shoe. And I feel like they would – I don't think Florida's as good this year. A lot of that's going to depend on what and how things go with AR-15 there at Florida. That's going to depend a lot on their season moving forward. We'll get to our picks at the end of this, and I'll give you my big opinion on what's going to happen with Florida.
I just really don't see LSU making a big standpoint this year. And I think Coach O is going to probably be on the hot seat. I mean, I know they had a lot of coaching changes and players, but here's the thing, though. Look at every SEC school. Look at Vandy, for goodness sakes. Vandy had a whole brand new coaching staff. Look at Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn has a brand new coaching staff, and here they're sitting undefeated.
Yeah. All right, we're
and if they
weeks
beat
through,
Penn
but...
State, you can't say, well, it's their coaching staff. Well, I'm saying, like, compared to LSU.
Yeah. Auburn's going to get their test this week.
And not. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
So a question for you. Back on the Coach O and the hot seat situation. Clay Helton out at USC. Does USC decide, let's just put an interim in there, let's get through the end of this season, see what happens in the season? Could there be the possibility that by, not even by the end of this season, Coach O is out and maybe USC decides, let's sit back and just see. Maybe we get Coach O by the end of this thing.
No, I think what will happen is they'll play the season out. I think Louisiana would have to play the season out because of his contract. I think his contract's too late.
I don't know. You know how buyouts are.
True.
But I agree. I think that Ed O is going to be the Gene Chizik of LSU. You know, Gene comes in and wins a national championship. Two seasons later, he's out. And I got a feeling that's going to be the exact same thing with Ed O at LSU this year.
Trying to find it real quick. To buy out his buyout would be according to his contract details, Brooke Bamba, the advocate, his buyout is 7% of the remaining money owed on the contract. So that would be $27 million this year, $21 next year, $16.8 the following year. So if they finish the season out, $21 million buys out his contract, and he's done.
If he finishes out this season?
If he finishes out, well, this was – hold on, when was this wrote? Yeah, if he finishes out this season, it would be – no, hold on.
It's 2021.
No, his buyout would be $16.8.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone at the end of the season. There's no way. There's no way he survives unless he turns around and somehow. Yeah. I mean, if he turns, I'll say this: he can save his job if he can turn around and beat Auburn, Kentucky, Florida.
He would have to go
Arkansas, A&M. If he can win, yeah. If he can, I don't know, win four. If he can, I think if he can win five out of the four SEC games, and a couple of those are big ones. You know, maybe he saves his job.
That's the problem.
Maybe, but I don't even know if that's enough. Is an 8-4 An 8-4 season, is that a fireable season for Coach O?
In
a team
SEC,
that 2 years ago you won a national championship, and last year you were terrible. It would be technically a step up from last year, but
yeah, but last year you look at the pandemic. Play that to effect. So last year,
I agree.
You muffled last year.
Yeah.
So this year,
But I mean, it's like we talked about with
he
USC's
has to break
head coach,
even though that's the problem.
It goes back to what we talked about with USC's coach. It's last year. If we're going to just put that in the rear view and say,
yeah, but
it's not
USC ain't been in the talk for national championship in freaking a decade.
That's true. They've cracked the top 25. You're right as far as being that elite
SEC,
category, top looking in. Yeah.
That's my problem with. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference between USC and LSU program right now. LSU has been top 15 for the past 4 years, and all of a sudden they're just off the radar.
Yeah.
USC hasn't been on the radar in like 10 years.
No, yeah, not in the maybe, caliber that is
maybe
as
six.
Meaningful.
I mean,
this is as close as I think they've been to the top 10 this year before falling this past week to Stanford. It's probably as close as they've been in a while, and I could be completely wrong about that. Again, we're SEC talk. We try to keep everything based around the SEC, but, you know, you still got to kind of look on that outside. So,
I just – by the looks of this right here, I mean, I say they finish out the season and see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And either by the start of January – after the bowl games, or even maybe before the bowl games, depending on how it goes, you could hear talks of him being on the hot seat, probably being getting ready to look for a new job.
Yeah. Yeah, I would strongly agree that by the time he gets to the bye week, there, what is that, Halloween weekend on the 30th?
Yeah.
Very strong possibility that he doesn't come back to play against Alabama that following week. Very strong possibility. And that's because you got Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss. You got five games there. More than likely, best case scenario, he goes 2-3 in those. Best case scenario. No, well, I guess best case scenario is you get 5-0. But
yeah.
In my opinion, his best case in that is to go 2-3.
He would need to finish out the year beating Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I'll let him slide on A&M. But he would need to beat Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, and Mississippi State.
That Ole Miss is a big ask.
Luckily, you
get Auburn at home, but Ole Miss having to travel to Ole Miss, and you're traveling to Mississippi State. Those Cowbells are loud, but to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss whose offense is just off the chain. And LSU's pass defense was terrible last year, and we thought, okay, you got Derek Stingley Jr.
Worse
back there.
This year.
They're probably going to be a little bit better, and they're not. They're not any better defensively on the back end than they were last year. And Ole Miss with Matt Corral will absolutely throw that ball over the top on you.
Oh, yeah. Lane Kiffin will eat that secondary alive.
Oh, yeah.
That Lane train is going to come in full throttle through Death Valley.
Yeah.
And it won't be pretty.
Well, hey.
I really think.
Go ahead. Finish
what
you said.
It'll be ugly.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'll tell you what.
It's going to be ugly if they don't finish out.
We're almost half an hour into this thing. We hadn't even started previewing any games, guys. So if that tells you anything, Cody's back. That's the reason it is. Let's jump into these. I'm blaming it on you. Let's jump into these game breakdowns because we still got picks. We still got all this fun stuff to do. But let's take a quick second and we'll jump into these game breakdowns. All right, coming into it here, we got New Mexico traveling to Texas A&M. That one at lunchtime there on SEC Network. Kind of a fun thing there. I didn't really realize this, but it is ex-quarterback for Kentucky, Terry Wilson, transferred to Mexico State. He's their starter. So you get quarterback that used to play for Kentucky playing against Texas A&M in this one, number 7, Texas A&M. That one is at College Station. Texas A&M, huge favorites in this one. Should win it. That's kind of a fun thing to see Terry Wilson coming back into an SEC game to play right here.
Look, there's a reason the dude left the SEC.
It's true.
I'm just going to leave it at that. There's a reason that the guy left the SEC.
Yeah. You know the bad thing y'all miss, though, for Texas A&M's sake, is losing Haynes King.
I saw that.
Yeah. They said he broke his ankle. But he's only going to be out for like 6 weeks. He's supposed to be coming back late October, mid-October. What? I thought that's something you go on for the season if you do something like that.
Well, it depends on what you break.
I guess that's true. I just read an ankle break, and I'm thinking,
are
we talking Nick Fitzgerald kind of breaking that thing sideways or what? But you're right. It could be something a little bit more minor than that.
When they say that's the broad area, because it – could be a tendon or
that's
a ligament.
True.
It's something simple.
And that may be what it was.
So I don't think necessarily it's a bone. Because if it's a bone, he's out for 6 months, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So,
but Texas A&M, 29.5 point favorites. That's
hurt them a little bit.
Yeah,
but I don't think it will affect them much. I think A&M's gonna roll over New Mexico, no problem.
Yeah, the good thing is you get a game right here, like we were talking about last week. Did not look good at all. A 10-7 win. Some people say, oh, it was just a great defensive battle. No, against Colorado, even though it was at Colorado, if you're a top 10 team in the country, you don't do that. That's not – this wasn't a Clemson-Georgia top five match-off, nothing but defense played in the game. This was a overmatched Colorado who came in, and yes, Haynes King goes down, but stunned is the best way to say Texas A&M in this one. There he is.
Look.
Sorry, you just came back in.
Don't underestimate these small schools.
Yeah.
Aw, dang.
Yeah, you good. Yeah, I lost everything that you said.
Okay. Well, I was saying the A&M went to that game with a big head, playing Colorado, playing a small school. And I think people need to understand these small schools don't need to be overlooked.
Yeah.
For instance, I think the most surprising small school is Jacksonville State.
Yeah, they surprised some people.
Out of Alabama, not Florida. Jacksonville, Alabama have upset FSU and Auburn in the past, 4 years? They had that win over Auburn in Auburn, and then that win over Florida State last week.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's been a while back, though, I think. But either way, I mean, yeah, they've come in and been a team to watch out for sure.
These little schools, they have a lot of good players. And, for instance, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tom Brady came from one of these little bitty schools. And now look at him.
I think Tom Brady played from Michigan.
Was it Michigan? I think he did play for Michigan. Yeah. Well, still, though.
But, yeah, there's guys who have played for small schools for sure. There's been quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely not something to look over, but still, in that situation, if you're a team that's wanting to get in the college football playoff and play, you shouldn't struggle with
– you got to go in.
Yeah, you shouldn't struggle with the likes of Colorado. Now, I mean, I can't say much because Georgia has struggled before with a team like South Carolina like they got this weekend, so it does happen. Hey, Alabama has fallen to Southern Miss, so stranger things have happened.
Well, and I think that's when it goes back to – where it goes back, and I'm going to quote Nick Saban on this, the rat poison. You know, people were giving him crap about being so hard on the players playing Mercer. Now, this is just a small school. It don't matter.
Yeah.
If you want to be a dominant force, if you're playing a high school team, you go there and playing like you're playing a pro team.
That's true.
That's, and a lot of people are like, oh, you need to take it easy. Why? We're not going to sit there and pay them $600,000 to come up here and beat us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you
crazy?
You don't pay a Troy to come down to Baton Rouge and beat you. I mean, who does that, right?
That was awesome. I love that game.
Me too, dude. Me too. I was fired up about it. Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, Texas A&M, 29.5 point favorite, over-under on its 50. We'll get to our pick central here in just a little bit. Moving on down, still at that 12 o'clock slate, a game that unless you have this subscription to ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus, you ain't going to watch it, and that's Chattanooga and Kentucky. There's not even a line on this because Will Levis is about to come in here and throw for 748 yards in one game.
Yeah, I feel bad for Chattanooga.
Yeah. Kentucky's on the rise right here.
Man, Kentucky and Arkansas have surprised me this year. I did not expect them to be as good as they are this early in the season, which Arkansas with KJ, we knew was going to be something to watch just because of the experience KJ brings to Arkansas. But I didn't realize he was going to sit there and start embarrassing teams.
Hey, I told you preseason, Arkansas is going to be better this year than they were last year. Now, I still have them finishing 6th in the West. They're going 7-5 this season. But that could change. That's just because they're about to hit a slate.
The way they're playing, they could probably take second place.
It's very well possible. But this is what they got coming up. You know, you got Southern this weekend. They should take care of it. We'll get to it in a minute. But then you got Texas A&M, at Georgia, at Ole Miss, Auburn. Very losable games. And in this, of those three games, or four games. I've got them going 1-4 or 1-3. I think they lose to A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, but I think they beat Auburn. I think they're going to come in and beat Auburn, and it may be at that point that Arkansas gets – I don't know. I don't think you can get back in the ranks after losing those few games like that, though.
Well, we'll definitely find out this weekend. Auburn definitely has their biggest – I think their biggest test of the year right now to start the season is Penn State in Penn State.
Yeah, let's get to that one down at the bottom of this because I want to save the Auburn and the Alabama game. I want to save those for last just because those are big ones out of the SEC. Yeah.
Well, you got Southeast Missouri and Missouri.
Connor Bazelak, same thing.
Small matchup.
Throwing for 7,000 yards.
Honestly, this game right here coming up, I think it'll be a fun one to watch just because the way they've been playing is Tennessee and Tennessee Tech.
Is this going to be a Tennessee and Georgia State game? Or who was it? Tennessee and Middle Tennessee State? Who was it that beat Tennessee a couple of years ago starting the season?
Yeah.
Middle Tennessee State, was it?
In Middle Tennessee State. Yeah.
You got to love it. You just got to love it. How great would that be right here? And I hate it. We're SEC talk. We should be talking the SEC up. But Tennessee just – there's something about them. They got some stuff they got to figure out up there.
They're the Vandies.
Poor Vandy. Oh, my goodness, dude. We didn't think Vandy would pull it out against Colorado State last week, but they did. But now they're coming up again a game in Stanford. Preseason, I picked them to lose it. But Stanford turned around and beat USC last week. Poor Vandy. But anyway, hey, Tennessee Tech, not much to talk about. Georgia Southern and Arkansas. Arkansas coming off that huge win against Texas. Arkansas, 23.5-point favorites. KJ Jefferson's going to throw for 100. All right, here's one that could be interesting. Mississippi State at Memphis. Both of them 2-0. Mississippi State only a 3-point favorite coming into this one. They're in Memphis. That one being at the Liberty Bowl. How you feel about this one? Memphis, you know, they've been a pretty good team over the past few years. Neither one of them ranked in this. Both of them coming
in 2-0. Memphis has been one of those teams, I would say Memphis has been one of those teams that they've been under the radar. They'll have these big wins here and there, but they're just kind of cruising.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if they beat Mississippi State, that'd be kind of a standpoint. Like, look, guys, we're here too. I mean, they've been in the top 20, I think, twice in the past 2 years.
Yeah, they've cracked.
They've been pretty high ranked in the past few years.
Yeah.
So that one's going to be fun to watch, too. And then, of course, you get LSU taking on Central Michigan, where
hopefully Max Johnson can come in there and just pad some stats in that one.
They need it. They need the win over Central Michigan for a standpoint to be like, okay, we're here to finally play.
Yep. Yeah, then you get that 7 o'clock you got on ESPN, South Carolina and Georgia. Georgia, huge favorite. I don't think I've seen Georgia favored over a SEC team by 30 points or more and seems like forever, probably back to that 2017-18 season maybe. But a 31.5-point favorite, and we don't know who's going to be quarterback. There could be a third – this could be the first time in the history in the SEC that a third quarterback in the first 3 weeks has started for an SEC team. Very well possible. JT Daniels, he's still battling an injury. Stetson Bennett, he's got a back injury going on now. You could be Carson Beck, your third starter in the third week as a top program in the country, being ranked second. But
hey, man,
I think Georgia should take care of business.
As long
South
as he
Carolina's,
produces.
Yeah, South Carolina's not very good. I will give credit to Shane Beamer, though. I like old Shane Beamer. I think he'd be good.
Oh, yeah. Here's another game that I'm want to watch. Just because of the way they played last week is Tulane and Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah. From that week one
Tulane
game against Oklahoma.
Tulane has been one of those teams. Yeah, Tulane's one of those teams to watch out for now.
There's a reason they only got this one at 14.
This is going to be an offensive game.
Yeah.
I don't see how.
I know. But look at that over-under, 76 and a half.
This is closer than – I can believe it. I can believe it over-under. I'm surprised it ain't up to 90.
Yeah. They're thinking like 40-something to 30-something.
To the air. I wouldn't see the 14-point spread, though. I think it's going to be closer than that.
You think so? We'll get to the picks here in just a minute.
This game's going to come down to who has the ball last.
Well, the thing I look forward to in this one, Matt Corral is going to throw for a heap load of yards. We know that. He's going to end up being a Heisman candidate at the end of the year. If he can limit his
600 yards, no problem.
Yeah, if he can limit his mistakes is the biggest thing. But my question in this is, let's see Ole Miss's defense. Can Ole Miss get in a game where their defense does actually have to stop a team? And if they can do that, then I will start to believe that Ole Miss may be able to come up and do what I was kind of predicting preseason and be one of the top teams in the SEC West. I saw somebody put like LSU ranked third behind Texas A&M in the final rankings of this season. I was like, I don't see how you see that. I've got Texas A&M, Alabama, and Ole Miss being right there at the top. And at this point, Ole Miss a slight edge over A&M. I don't know that A&M is going to upset Alabama anymore like our preseason pick. But luckily, our preseason and our weekly picks, they get to change. So.
Yeah.
But I want to see if Ole Miss's defense can stop anybody.
True. If Ole Miss had a defense, they would be dangerous. Yeah. That's their only weakness at this point is that defense. Mm-hmm. They can outscore anybody in the country. They just can't stop nobody in the country at the same time. That's their biggest problem.
Yeah, that's been their problem for the past few years.
But I think we can wrap up with the last two games I think we ain't covered yet. One of them is going to be another good one at 7 o'clock. I think it's on ABC. Is that Auburn and Penn State?
Yeah. Hey, don't forget about Vandy now. Vandy's taking on Stanford at 8 o'clock. Don't forget about them. Stanford a 12-point favorite.
Stanford's taking on Vandy High.
In Nashville. Poor Vandy. Poor Vandy. All right, 7:30, ABC, Auburn, Penn State. Let's talk about it.
Man, this game right here is going to be – this is the worst way welcome to coaching to his first year in the SEC. Hey, man, you just got started. You had a brand new squad. Guess what? You're on to Penn State to play.
Yeah.
Oh, did we tell you it's a top 25 matchup too?
Check this out. Do you know that Auburn has not traveled to a Big Ten school to play, like to a Big Ten school to play since like 1935?
Seriously?
Yeah. I think that there may be one other game within the last 15 years that they've gone and played at a Big Ten school, but before that, it ages back to like 1935. What in the world?
I think I may need to go.
Okay.
That's insane.
Let me know what you need. Need to hop out on us and we'll roll on, or what you need?
Yeah, I think so. I think little man's trying to wake up.
All right.
I'll run through real quick. All right. The last game, I'll go ahead and run through my picks real quick, too.
Yeah, do that for
me. Last game we're going to talk about, too, is the Alabama-Florida game in Gainesville at that. A really good matchup there. There's been a lot of smack talking from the Florida players.
Go ahead and give me that Alabama pick, brother.
That poster.
Go ahead and give me that pick.
It's Alabama.
All right, Alabama.
It's Alabama.
Alabama. I'm writing all your picks down, so I got them, so I can keep up with them. You're taking the 14.5.
No worries.
You mean to tell me you're going to put a point on this one? You're putting a number on this one?
I'll put points on this one.
We got two. He's taking the 14.5. It's okay because I'm matching you on that. We may go through this at the same time, back and forth. Let's fly through it. Let's go. Let's do this.
Start back at the top of A&M, New Mexico. I'm taking A&M better pull this one out. All right. I'm pulling for them. They better pull it out.
I hope they do.
Kentucky, Chattanooga, Kentucky.
All right.
Kentucky, Missouri. I almost want to pull for Tennessee Tech, but I'll give Tennessee some hope.
All right.
Got the Alabama, Florida, Arkansas over Georgia Southern. I think that'd be no problem there.
Yep.
Memphis, Mississippi State. I think they'll be able to pull it out. It's going to be close. I can see that 3-point, but – it's going to be a close one. I'm going to give Mississippi State on that one.
All right.
Georgia, South Carolina, give me Georgia.
Yep.
Auburn, Penn. As much as I don't like Auburn, I'm going to have to pull for Auburn against Penn State.
What? He's giving Auburn the win.
I'm going to go with upset. I think I picked them to win on my schedule. I'm not sure. Give me Auburn over Penn, but it's going to be close.
I can't believe this is going to be a tough Alabama test. Fan pulling for Auburn in the game.
For Auburn, Central Michigan, LSU. I'm hoping LSU pulls this one out. I kind of want to go upset for Central Michigan. You know what? No, I said, give me Central Michigan.
Oh my goodness!
I think Central Michigan may be able to pull
out. Let's talk about a turn of a trade, just a turn of the tide right here. Give me Auburn against Penn State, and Central Michigan's gonna upset LSU. I tell you what, if Central Michigan does it, I'll buy you a beer.
Look, man, as much as they struggled, as much as LSU has struggled, I would not be surprised if they slipped up. I really wouldn't.
I can agree with that.
Tulane, Ole Miss, I want to take Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah. I think that's all of them. And, of course,
Stanford over Vandy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, old Vandy.
I get it. Missouri, South Missouri. But, I think you got Missouri on that, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of think I just touched on that real quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Alabama, Florida, there's been a lot of smacks on. Florida has a couple players out, too. And Alabama got their linebacker back. Will Anderson's coming back this week, too.
And you're taking the 14.5. I love it.
The reason is because they got Will Anderson back on defense.
Yeah.
They cleared him today to play on Saturday. I think that defense for Alabama is going to be way too tough for Florida, and they're going to eat those corners up.
Yeah, I don't think AR-15's playing in this one, and that's the difference in the game to me. I also think Florida's down a linebacker,
and
thank you
with Emory Jones.
It's over. Over. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you coming on with us tonight. I'm glad to have you back in it. We got your picks in here and everything. I'm going to shut this thing down and run through my picks, and we'll check in on you maybe Sunday. Maybe have you with us, maybe not. It's up to you. We'll see kind of how things work out for you.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Appreciate you you being on with us, and Cody, I'll wrap this thing up for us.
That worked, man. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. All right, guys. Glad to have Cody in here. Obviously, you heard it on there. He's got to run. He's got his youngin' waking up on him. All right. Anyway, so y'all, you heard it here. Cody is picking. He's picking Auburn in the win over Penn State. That was one I couldn't believe when he said it. Never would have thought Cody would have actually picked Auburn in a game like that. But, hey, more power to you, I guess, if you want to feel that way. But anyway, I think I finally got the screen straight here. Sorry. Trying to get all the screens straight after having to swap in and out like that. But anyway, y'all heard his picks there. I'm going to go through mine real quick. Pretty much try to just wrap this thing up real quick now that we're going to be a little bit different. Coming out of this thing. Starting at the top, Alabama, Florida. Me and him are identical on this one. I got the win and the minus 14.5 against Florida. And that is because I don't think Emory Jones is going to be the quarterback. I think he's going to be the quarterback in this one. And I just don't think he can pull it out. I mean, I hate to be, you know, negative about that. But I just don't. I don't think that he's got the horses to be able to keep up with an Alabama. Just because if you look at that game last year, yeah, you had a guy in Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts. You had guys out there who could actually do things offensively to get you back in that game. This year, you got Copeland on the outside, but I don't think it's enough to keep up with Alabama. Alabama's defense is also better this year than they were last year. So, give me Alabama in that one and that 14.5. Arkansas with the win over Southern, and this is where we'll differ. Cody's taking the win at Penn State for Auburn. It may very well happen. I think this is going to be a defensive game. I've got Penn State beating Auburn in this one, and give me the under 53. Last I looked at it, I got it at 53. And it still shows that on my screen. So give me the under 53 and Penn State with the win there. So we will differ a little bit in that one. Georgia, South Carolina, I got Georgia with the win. And I'm also going to take Georgia with that 31.5. I know that's a lot, 31 and a hook. But I don't know. I picked this one like 41-6. So if that happens, then they cover that. Hopefully that'll happen. All that takes is Georgia's offense to continue rolling and that defense. All it's got to do is keep doing what it's doing and we're going to be okay. Kentucky big win over Chattanooga. LSU win over Central Michigan. I know he's taking the upset in this one, but I just don't know if I see that happening being in Baton Rouge. Hey, stranger things have happened, so we will differ on that one, but that's all right. Ole Miss, Tulane. Tulane, I think, played really well against Oklahoma. They had every opportunity and every reason to not play well in that game, and they still played really well. I don't think that's going to happen against Ole Miss. I feel like Ole Miss's offense is going to come in. They may not stop Tulane every time, but I think Ole Miss's offense is going to kind of prevail in this one. I look for Matt Corral to have a really, really big game. in this one. So give me Ole Miss with the win, and I want that minus 14 for Ole Miss as well in this one. Another pick in this one, Mississippi State. I got them beating Memphis. I know it's at Memphis. I'm also taking that minus 3 for Mississippi State. I just feel like Mississippi State's going to come alive in this one, and Will Rogers is going to prove himself at Memphis. Road win. A little bit of a ruckus environment, but I think they get the job done. Missouri with the win over Southeast Missouri. Tennessee with the win over Tennessee Tech. Texas A&M with the win over New Mexico. And then finally coming down to that Stanford-Vanderbilt game, I got Stanford in this one in the win and minus the 12 in that one. So that kind of wraps up all of the games as far as our picks and everything. Some games around the league real quick. We'll run through them while we're at it here. Games around, big games in the league. And I'm going to just do this really quickly to get us wrapped up here. The biggest ones. Number 8, Cincinnati, a 3.5-point favorite traveling to Indiana. I don't know why. I mean, I know it's at Indiana. Maybe that's why. But I got Cincy in this one, minus 3.5. I mean, not necessarily taking the points in that, but I just think Cincy's going to end up rolling in this one. Give me Cincy. 15, Virginia Tech at West Virginia. West Virginia, a 2.5-point favorite in this one. I think Virginia Tech, they look really good against North Carolina. They shut Sam Howell down in that game, and I think they're going to do the same thing against West Virginia. I know it's on the road, but I got Virginia Tech in this one. Michigan State, 24, Miami. Miami is a 6-point favorite. Give me Michigan State. I feel like Michigan State can come in here and actually kind of upset Miami in this situation. Miami's not very good this year. Probably eat my words on that one, but I'll take Michigan State in that one. Purdue at number 12, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, only a 7-point favorite, and that's because I think I talked about it Sunday. Purdue is a losable game. Purdue's one of those teams that comes in and can beat people when they're not supposed to, like a Syracuse against a Clemson in games that you're just not supposed to. I feel like Jack Cohn, though, he's the only reason that they're going to end up being able to win games this year. He has proven their defense is not. Their defense is not good. And we've learned that for the past few weeks, coming into this season, I guess a couple of weeks. But either way, I think Notre Dame does pull this one out. At the house, Virginia at number 21, UNC. UNC an 8-point favorite. I think UNC lights it up in this one. I would take that minus 8 in that one as well. 19, Arizona State, a 3.5-point favorite traveling to 23, BYU. Give me BYU. I know Arizona State looks good starting this one, but I'm going BYU in this one. Fresno State at number 13, UCLA. UCLA, 11-point favorite. Watch out. Fresno State, really good football team. Very, very, very strong possibility Fresno State comes into UCLA and upsets UCLA in this one. UCLA, they beat LSU. LSU's not good. But regardless, UCLA probably wins that one. Just be careful because, again, Fresno State's a really good team. I was going to go through our Final Four, having Cody on here so we could talk about it a little bit. Not really going to worry about it now, not with him not being in here. So maybe we get him on Sunday. If we can get him in here on Sunday, then we will technically it'll be Monday's episode. We'll go through that top four with you guys once we review all the games from this past weekend. Going to go ahead and wrap everything up here for us, though. Again, appreciate you guys listening. You guys make sure you subscribe and follow. Rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You guys tune in on Monday, and we will be back to review the games after that.